religious leaders respond to the Senate's rejection of the Immigration Family Values Measures conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. I'd like to turn the call over to Katie Barge. Ms. Barge, you may begin.
Hi there, everyone. Thank you on such short notice for joining us today for an important response to the Senate's rejection last night of the important family provisions to the immigration bill. Faith in Public Life is pleased to sponsor this press conference. We're a resource center dedicated to increasing the visibility of faith leaders, like many of those, all of those today on this call, dedicated to justice and the common good. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, and so pleased to have with us today Reverend Sam Rodriguez, President of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, which is America's largest Hispanic evangelical organization, Senator Hillary Clinton, Jim Wallace, founder of Sojourners and author of God's Politics, Reverend Derek Harkins, pastor of the 19th Street Baptist Church and World Relief board member, and Sister Simone Campbell, executive director of Network, a Catholic social justice lobby. With that, we're just going to bounce right on into the content of this call. Thank you for taking the time in the middle of this busy day. And with that, Reverend Sam Rodriguez.
Thank you, Katie. As the nation's largest Hispanic Christian organization, serving 15 million Hispanic born-again Christians and 18,000 churches, we call upon the Senate to pass legislation that will protect our borders, protect our families, and protect our values. The lack of approval of legislative components, such as the Clinton-Hagel-Menendez amendments that would have protected the family unit and secured unification of such families, is an egregious assault on the core institution of American society. We call upon the Senate to finally pass legislation, and consequently, we call upon the House of Representatives to protect the family unit and secure the viability of all families. Let us not permit this Congress to divide and separate. Bill moves forward. Finally, as people of faith, we have a question, and that question is, where are the organizations, ministries, and advocacy groups that historically have spoken on behalf of family values? We call upon these same organizations, including Focus on the Family, the Family Research Council, and others, to speak up on behalf of all families. The silence conveys a message to the immigrant and predominantly Latino community that these families do not matter. Where is your consistency and your moral imperative today as it pertains to family? Let us reconcile America. Let us rebuke xenophobia. Let us stop illegal immigration, protect our borders, provide an earned pathway to citizenship, secure our families and our family values, and then in doing so, we protect the American dream.
Thank you so much, Reverend Sam Rodriguez. With that, I'd like to introduce Senator Hillary Clinton.
Well, I think all that one should say in response to Reverend Rodriguez is amen. It was an absolutely powerful statement. And I think it underscores the inconsistency in this immigration bill. As a nation, we have historically placed a premium on compassion and respect and policies that help our families. But this bill does not reflect that. For lawful permanent residents and their spouses and minor children, this bill not only fails to help them, it actually makes matters worse. And it causes, you know, many to be separated from their families for far longer than is appropriate or, in my view, necessary. Because the compromise bill fails to help families and children stuck in a bureaucratic quagmire created by our tangled, broken immigration system. Now, despite what some might have suggested on the Senate floor this week, the visa backlog for spouses and minor children of lawful permanent residents is significant and substantial. In fact, it is currently more than 5 years long. And what does that mean? Well, it means that parents are forced apart from their children, husbands are separated from their wives, and tax-paying, law-abiding, legal immigrants who are doing the right thing are treated as though their families don't matter. Under our current policies, we are saying that 5 years in the life of a young child or a marriage just isn't important. Well, I think every one of us knows it is precious time that cannot be recaptured. The compromise immigration bill reduces the number of visas for spouses and minor children of lawful permanent residents. It does not allocate a single visa to address the existing backlog for these family members. And as I have said many times before, I believe we have a national interest in fostering strong families. And I want to thank the more than 100 advocacy organizations and faith-based groups that have endorsed and rallied support for my amendment. You've done an invaluable service in speaking out on behalf of men, women, and children trapped in our immigration system whose voices would not otherwise be heard. And I'm very grateful that you have been there and been counted when it really matters. So I hope that we will, as we go through this process, be able to remedy the problems in this bill and the underlying breach of principle with respect to promoting and protecting families. And it's an honor to be on the call with all of you.
Thank you, Senator Clinton. Now I'd like to introduce Reverend Jim Wallace, founder of Sojourners and author of God's Politics. Jim?
Well, I'll add my amen to both of those good sermons we just heard. I frankly was appalled when I actually couldn't believe it. You know, Jesus' words, suffer the little children, has just taken on new meaning in the U.S. Senate. I mean, I can't believe that we are actually rejecting the Clinton-Menendez-Hagel Amendment being rejected. I'm told this is 833,000 families who have applied through all the proper mechanisms to reunite their families who would be denied the chance to do that under this arbitrary cutoff date. This is something, this is a gospel issue. Welcoming the stranger is for us not a policy option. This is a religious option. Jesus tells us to do this. The U.S. Senate is showing a callousness here, a harshness. This must not be acceptable. I'm with Sam. Sam, every Christian organization that has used the term family values in the last 10 years must be called to speak up right now for immigrant families. And if they don't, they will be hypocrites. It's time that we demonstrate who we are and what we believe here. There are complicated issues around immigration. We all know that. We all want to be a nation of laws. The present policies, the system is broken. Nobody wants anarchy at our borders. We've got to fix the system. We all agree with that. But we're talking about ripping families apart. We're talking about, as Senator Clinton just said, separating children and parents and husbands and wives. This is something we cannot tolerate in the faith community. I'm sorry, I'm just agitated here. I can't believe the Senate has done this. This is a moral mistake, and it must be fixed. In conference or in the House, it must be fixed. And the religious community have different views on some of the aspects of immigration policy. We cannot let families be destroyed like this. And this is something, you and I should write some letters to all the leaders this afternoon and say, you've got to join us on this, or your family values invocation no more meaning whatsoever.
Thanks so much, Jim. Now I'd like to introduce Reverend Derek Harkins. He's pastor at 19th Street Baptist Church in D.C. and a World Relief board member. Derek?
Thank you, and good afternoon. And I also just want to echo the enthusiasm of support behind the statements that have already been made, and to also echo my deep, heartfelt dismay at the actions within the Senate on last night. However, I do want to commend those who have exhibited just exemplary leadership in the face of opposition to try to move towards comprehensive immigration reform. One thing I would certainly want to add to this conversation is just an urgent plea for even those who have an opposing stance to immigration reform to retire and recede from using the intellectually dishonest term of amnesty when no one is calling for anything other than an earned pathway to citizenship with all the elements. I mean, even the actions in the Senate indicate that. You look at Hagel Menendez, and you look at the other amendments being offered, it shows that the effort to really do the heavy lifting to responsibly address a very significant and difficult issue. But I also want to say that I just feel it is also, at the very least, intellectually dishonest. Again, for those individuals and entities that advocate for family strength and the stability of our society, to espouse that, and then to allow for this kind of frontal damage to family structure to happen. The strength that comes from those who come to our shores, our borders, is augmented by family. It's not immediately and directly simply augmented by professional standing or status. I have great respect for the idea of cultivating a way in which people with given skill sets can come into the United States. But I can assure you, as a practitioner of a calling that is centered in family and families, that it is family structure that lends the greatest measure of stability to our country, to our society. And, again, it is intellectually dishonest to not understand that that must be the core of any kind of immigration reform. And once again, I do just again want to echo my appreciation for the difficult stance of many in the Senate to try to move this thing forward. And we're going to, again, call upon the House of Representatives as well again, move forth in a direction that leads us to comprehensive immigration reform and earned pathway to citizenship.
Thank you so much, Reverend Derek Harkins. Next, I'd like to introduce Sister Simone Campbell. She is Director of Network, a Catholic Social Justice Lobby in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Kitty. We at Network advocate for, with and for the needs of those who live at the economic margins of our society. We do this from a faith, from our Catholic faith perspective. And I, too, was fairly stunned that the Senate would reject the Hagel-Menendez amendment and the other amendments related to families. Because I know that families are the building block of the United States. To have the Senate place economics over families, to me, indicated a skewed sense of value and commitment to building up our country for the future, and indicated a wrong way to fix a broken system of immigration. Now, what we are advocating for is a bill that will put families at the center, not at the periphery. Because when you put families at the center, then women and children, who are really the nurturers of the next generation of our future world, are the ones that are also included and benefited. Women and children are disproportionately disadvantaged in this bill that's currently being considered in the Senate, because they more often are the ones who are not able to immigrate, who don't have all of these economic points that the Senate is indicating is the good way to go, and also are the ones that have the most difficulty reuniting here with a working spouse. This is not good for the women, it's not good for their children, it's not good for the husbands, because to live alone without your family takes away the very opportunity to put your roots deep into our society, to learn English, to purchase a home, to pursue job opportunities, to start your own business, and to contribute to their communities here, because their concerns are always with their family away. If we really want to build our country, it is our belief we can only do it with families, because families are the bedrock of our society. Therefore, we, like the others on the call, are calling on the White House negotiators as well as the President to take leadership in this. We call on the House of Representatives to return to U.S. traditional values that are commonly called family values, and that as this bill moves forward, we need to shift its focus from the economic need or perceived need of a few corporations to what we really need as a nation built on families that has been true for us for over 230 years. Let's continue a valued tradition and build our immigration policy on families. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Simone Campbell. Now I'd like to turn it over to our question and answer session. Operator, you can open it up for us, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will conduct a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone now, and you'll be placed in the queue in the order received. If your question has been answered, or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press pound. We're now ready to begin. Our first question comes from Jonathan Wiseman of the Washington Post. Please state your question.
Are you suggesting if the Senate bill does come to a final vote and looks pretty much like it does now, are you suggesting that senators vote for it and try to change the process, try to change it later on, or is it time to bring this thing down?
Sam, would you like to answer that?
Say it again.
Why don't I jump in? This is Mr. Simone. From our perspective in network, we think that we need to continue the process of working on this bill. If it's one of these hold your nose and vote for it so that the whole process doesn't die, I mean, that is our position at this point. We would rather see that their continued work on amendments could possibly make a difference this afternoon. That's our hope. But if that doesn't happen, then I believe that we need to move forward and to work with the House to try to make it better.
This is Sam Rodriguez. I wholeheartedly concur. We have right now 12 million people that are completely in limbo. There is so much angst and trepidation in the immigrant community that we are encouraging the Senate to move forward, and we are hopeful. And because of our faith narrative, we are prayerfully hopeful that members in the House via conference will be able to modify the egregious assault on the family structure and make sure that we preserve this great tradition.
Other questions?
Our next question comes from Tom Parman with Interfaith Voices. Mr. Parman, please state your question.
Hi, this is John Parman. I just have a quick question about the new sanctuary movement, and I'd like to know from all of you, where do you stand on this? Obviously, this is a large interfaith effort, ecumenical, across a broad swath of the American church, temple, mosque, synagogue-going population. I'd like to know, you know, how do you all feel about it now that the immigration bill is backtracking itself? Do you support at all any ecumenical structure to keep safe those illegal immigrants?
Jim Wallace here. I'm very supportive of the new sanctuary movement. It's in our tradition of accompanying, standing with them, welcoming them into our congregations, our lives, our own families, and it's to be with people who are in distress and difficulty. There's nothing illegal about it. It's simply standing with those who are in distress. And so I applaud this as a very courageous and creative and powerful movement now being launched in several cities, and we stand at Sojourner.
And this is Sister Simone. I agree with Reverend Wallace that this is an important movement, but I think what needs to be underscored here is that there is a long, long way from where we are today to protection for the undocumented. And this, even if this bill passed as it is now, it could be a couple of years before there would be implementation of a visa program for the people who are living in the shadows of our country. So I hope that the press makes it clear to those folks who are living in the shadows that this isn't the end of it. This doesn't mean it's done. We have a very, very long way to go to make this a reality. So in the interim, the sanctuary program is still needed to provide a haven, a safety for folks.
Jim Wallace again, just on the last question, I was just thinking as Simone and Sam were speaking to that, let's call this the family exclusion part of this new immigration reform bill. I think we really have to reverse this. And I was hearing Sam say a few moments ago, it's time to call upon our brothers and sisters in those other Christian organizations who have staked out this issue of family values as their mission and their concerns. Time to join with them and to really intervene here, intervene with the members of Congress that are responsive to their concerns. And it would be a powerful thing if we saw across the political spectrum people of faith who believe in family values intervening and reversing this moral and political mistake of excluding families from a good immigration bill. This is something that we can't accept. This has to be changed. And I have to think that if the faith community in all of its political diversity were to come together on this issue, I think members of Congress would be hard-pressed to resist that kind of unified pressure. So maybe that's the thing that we should do next. Reach out to our friends in the religious right and say, this is something that we could and should do together, and the time is now.
Again, to state a question, please press star 1 on your phone now. Our next question comes from Brian Friel from the National Journal. Brian, please state your question.
Is Senator Clinton still on the phone?
I believe she had to step off, Brian.
Okay. I was going to ask if there were any other planned family-related amendments to come or not. If anybody knows.
Our understanding from Senator Clinton is that it doesn't look good in the Senate, which is why we are trying to set our sights on moving forward, fixing this in the House, also pressuring the White House to do the right thing here. Other questions?
John Parman again, real fast. Jim Wallace, who on the right are you focusing on to wedge them? Are you looking at Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council? Are you looking at Richard Cizik from the National Association of Evangelicals? If you could give us some names, that would be very helpful.
Well, I'm thinking of the people that Sam Rodriguez mentioned in his opening statement. I think the Family Research Council, focus on the family. These are key organizations that have really lifted up the well-being of families, and I think this is a perfect opportunity for them to enter this debate on behalf of families. This is what they do. This is what they've done. And I think doing it right here, right now, would send a very powerful message. So I'm talking about James Dobson, Tony Perkins, and all those who lift up family values. They should be appealed to, approached right now to join us to protect mothers and fathers and children, husbands and wives. We're talking about protecting marriage here. You're going to put tremendous pressure on marriage if you break up families like this. Pressure on parenting, on kids. These are their bread and butter issues. And Sam, as I understand Reverend Rodriguez saying, let's show the same concern for immigrant families as we show for middle-class white evangelical families. It's time to show that we're concerned about all of God's children and all of God's families.
At this time, we have no additional questions.
Well, thank you so much to everyone for joining the call on such short notice today.